Blog Talk Radio.
Time now for Lydia's Literary Lowdown on Greater Good Ministries Radio. Join Lydia at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern every Saturday and get the lowdown on today's popular authors, publishers, and pundits. Lydia's Literary Lowdown, right here on GGM Radio, every Saturday, 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. I am Lydia Aswold, and I have to have a guest here whose name you have probably heard a lot. I have the beautiful Brenda Drake with me today. And Brenda, how are you?
Great, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. I'm hurting a little bit inside, Brenda. I really am, because I so want to get my beady little eyes on your book, and it comes out in February. I just have to read the description, because I don't think anyone can actually hear this and not want to buy this book right now. I have to disappoint everyone, because it's going to be out in February. But it's Library Jumpers. It's a 16-year-old finds out that a simple flip of the page can transport her to the library of her choosing, thus thrusting her into a mystic world hidden amongst the pages of library books, where evil abounds, secrets unfold, and mortals are running out of time. I want to read it. I want to read it right now.
Thank you.
That description is amazing.
Oh, thank you.
How excited are you to be coming out with this? Is every day until February kind of, I can't even imagine what emotions you go through from writing the book to then being accepted by an agent to then getting a publishing deal. Has it been kind of a roller coaster of emotions along the way?
Yeah, it has, and it's been a pretty long journey for me also. That's why I always tell writers never to give up, to keep going forward, because, you know, it was a long ride for me, and I'm almost there, and I'm excited about it, but it is still a long wait. February seems so far from me, but they keep me busy with deadlines, because I just finished book two, so it's just been kind of crazy with deadlines to keep me busy.
And this is actually a three-book deal. I mean,
yes.
Were you, did you have any inkling that that was going to happen beforehand, or was that something kind of, as a writer, you may have planned the three books, but I think a three-book deal, wow.
It's taken a lot of adjustments, because actually I could have pictured Library Jumpers as a four-book, so I've kind of condensed it now into three books, which is so much better, I think. So,
well, are you a plotter or are you a pantser?
I am a little bit of both. I would mostly a panster, but I do have to have like a plot graph to guide me where I'm going, or else I just kind of go shiny, let's go that way, and then I forget where I'm going or something. So I do have to have something mapped out, and then I just kind of let it lead me from page to page.
And did this? I mean, as soon as I read Library Jumpers, you almost had me just with the title alone. Did that come from your background of a love of libraries, going to the library often when you were a child?
Yeah, I grew up in a pretty difficult home, and I also was pretty the introverted type of person. When I was younger, not when I was in high school. Everyone would argue that because I kind of got wild in high school. But during that time, I was kind of awkward, and I really enjoyed going to libraries. I start Library Jumpers out in the Boston Athenaeum, which is an amazing library that I had visited when I was a little girl, and it just is so magical to me. And so I just have always loved libraries, so
yes.
I think all writers do, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know a writer who doesn't read as well, and that's kind of one of the tenets of being able to write a good book. But this sounds like a really complex universe that you've created. Did it spring into your head whole, or did it just kind of start with an idea and kind of avalanche from there, snowball from there is probably a better way to put it?
It started from a coffee table book of all the beautiful libraries in the world, and I was just opening it, and to me, I'm seeing these beautiful pictures, and I'm imagining people fighting in them with swords, And so it just kind of took off from there about it being magical. I mean, if you look at some of the pictures in this book, which I do have on my desk and I have open for inspiration all the time, it just kind of felt magical to me while I was there. And I kind of like, I like adventure and I like urban fantasy and I like swords. So it just kind of took off from that.
And I like 16-year-old female protagonists who are obviously strong enough to handle whatever's going to be thrown at them. And that's very inherent in the character. I've not read the book. I've not laid eyes on it. I desperately want to. And when I do, that's the expectation that I have. Is that, was the character modeled on anyone or yourself, anything like that?
Gia is modeled after my two nieces and another, a friend of mine's daughter, kind of all three of them together. During the time I was writing, they were in my house a lot and spending a lot of time with me. She's very strong. You know, she's a fighter. She's always been a fighter. She takes kickboxing and she was on the fencing team. So she's always had that skill. So when she's propelled into this new world, she was born to it. So naturally she has those skills already.
I'm telling you, I just swallowed because I'm drooling. I really am. No, you have to love reading to do what you do. And I just absolutely adore books. I'll read 4 or 5 a week. But you don't have that much time. How do you juggle all of this? Was there any pressure whenever you know, okay, I've got the deal and I have to write the 3 books. I planned on 4. I'm going to condense it. Was there any pressure or worry about getting, now you've got the second book done. Is it easy for you to go on and say, now I know how this is going to end and I'm going to cruise through the first draft of this 3rd book?
I think that I still am turning the 3rd book in my head. I kind of knew how it was going to be with the 4th book. The 2nd book took me on a new ride, a new journey. So I had an idea, and then I wrote the 2nd book, which I am so in love with and that I really enjoyed writing, and new things happened. It's like they took me someplace else. So I am mapping out the 3rd book now, and I'm pretty excited about it. And it kind of ends the way the 4th book would have. But the meat of it is totally different than what I had planned. My characters took me somewhere totally different, and I'm excited about it.
I love hearing that because that's always a sign of really powerful characters that you can feel and taste and touch. Well, okay, maybe not taste. That's a little kinky. But definitely touch. They're real to you. The best characters are real to you, and you identify with them. So that I want to hear. But you're also, it's not just about the 3rd book rolling around in your head, because you're also working on a middle grade book, or do you have that done now?
I'm at the end of it, rewriting it with my new agent, and I love that book too. So I do have to switch my mindset each time I'm writing the middle grade versus writing the young adult. But I totally adore this middle grade book, and I just love it. And it's just so fun to be in it, and the direction that Peter has has led me on has been amazing. It's really exciting, and I can't wait for that one to get out on submission. But, you know, I have to be patient, and we have to work it so it's perfect. So I'm enjoying that right now, too.
It just sounds like mass insanity to me. I mean, you really have to be a juggler, but in the best of ways, because I will still read middle grade books. I have no shame whatsoever ever in admitting that, because they're just, I read them when I was a kid. I still read them. I still do. I will still read Madeline L'Engle's books. I love her.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And I will probably read your middle grade book, too, which I'm not going to ask you for the premise, just because you're in the middle of rewriting, and if your characters take you on a different journey, you never know what will happen. Is
right.
that one of the most rewarding feelings for you whenever they take a turn and you go, well, that came out of nowhere?
Yeah, sometimes I feel like, who's writing this book? And it's like, so, yeah, sometimes it doesn't feel like I'm actually writing it. It's like I'm just kind of it's just coming from me and flowing from me, and I really enjoy that because I like when it surprises me. I'd rather it surprise me. I get more inspiration, and I'd rather, you know, find new paths without staying on that one path that I had planned out.
Do you turn to your writer friends whenever that happens? Because it's hard for me not to turn to my friends, my family, my writer friends, and say, you will never believe what that character did yesterday. I never saw it coming.
Yeah. I was just having coffee. Veronica Bartles had moved here from Maryland, and we've had coffee. And yesterday she was helping me brainstorm, and I kind of went, oh, I got to do it this way. And so I'm kind of rewriting those chapters to fit some great ideas that came from that, just shooting with, when you're talking with your writing partners or your critique partners and shooting ideas back and forth, things ignite, and it's exciting because you have someone to bounce those ideas off of.
It makes a big difference. And you've had quite a journey as is with just traditional publishing, because as I understand it, you had a different agent who sold Library Jumpers and the 3-book deal that you have, and then you switched.
Yeah, and she was the right agent for that book, but I needed a career agent that kind of got where I was going in my career, and I tend to go younger when I'm writing, and I feel like Pete and I are like the perfect match for that because he's just so sharp, and he gets what I write. He gets it, and he loves the middle grade that we're working on right now. So that was really exciting, and to have his point of view on that and everything has been a wonderful discovery. I just really enjoy working with him.
Well, what amazes me is how on earth, okay, I know you're young, you're blonde, you're beautiful, okay? Yes, I'm bitter.
I am not young, but okay.
You are beautiful.
Not beautiful
and
either.
You have brains, and you have a brilliant premise. And another brilliant premise in this middle grade book. But what fascinates me about that is how do you slip into the voice of a middle grade main character?
Yeah, it's just basically, well, I have done stage before too, but that was when I was in high school and middle school and stuff like that. So I kind of just be the character and just kind of I try to be the character. I hope I'm coming off as the character when I'm writing, but I just try to be that character. Like, what would that character think of? And then I kind of talk like them and I read it out loud, and I just kind of really just talk like them while I'm narrating it or while I'm writing it, you know, the narration, just so that it can sound like them.
Well, that's amazing because to me that's almost like method acting, isn't it? I mean, that's the best way to do it because then you can tell yourself, do you ever find yourself, you, Brenda Drake, slipping into that character or something you might say and then have to say, yeah, no, that was me?
No, but maybe other people have noticed and just didn't say anything to me, and they're thinking I'm kind of wacko, but yeah.
No, that's not possible. You got two agents. I'm afraid that's just not possible. And what was that like? What was the submission? Because you're always helping other authors. What was the submission process like for you when you started out with Library Jumpers, or did you start out with something else submitting?
I started out with a completely different book, and it failed miserably. I think I got over 200 rejections without any requests to see more pages. I think that's where I go to when I think of writers when they're querying and why I am so open to answer the questions or help them if they have a question or anything like that, is because I went through that. It was so dark. It was so hard. And it was a terrible story. And it was like a knockoff of Narnia or something, and not a single agent even requested more pages. And so I kind of learned from that. And when I submitted Library Jumpers or started querying Library Jumpers, I was getting requests for pages, so I knew I had something. So if you're getting requests for pages, you know you have a good premise. If you're getting rejected, then you know you need to work on your manuscript. And so I would query and then kind of see what was going on, and then I would work on my manuscript and query again and see what the agents said that were requesting pages until, you know, I got it right.
Did you get that whole, because, I mean, I've been at it for a while, but did you get that whole, I used to get so excited about full requests, and then after some point, did you ever get that, it's another full request, or were you excited each and every time?
I was excited each and every time, and I still get excited when I hear about people getting full requests or when people get agents or whatever. I still get excited when I get a comment from a critique partner or from my agent that, oh, this is good, you did good, and I know there's still work to be done. But just every little thing just kind of is a reward. It's exciting. I'm a pretty I don't know. I get excited over
you.
All
well,
kind of
I
things.
Did today. Someone I've had on the show, and then someone I'll be interviewing later in the year, Julie Hutchings, got Eric Rubin as an agent today, and I'm telling you right now, I did fist pump like a Jersey girl, and I squealed, and I was like running around. I squealed so loud my children came in to say what happened, and I'm like, Julie got an agent, and they're like, who's Julie? And I'm like, remember that book I was telling you about? That's part of the joy, and I think that's the reason everyone listening to the show wants to hear Brenda Drake, because you are so generous with your time. What I want to know is, you had two different agents. Have you ever lost the euphoria of them telling you that they wanted to represent your work?
No, I mean, I'm amazed if anyone wants to read my work or if they are excited about my work. I'm just very happy. I'm very lucky. When I did it under the radar, I didn't really tell everyone I was querying for a new agent. I really didn't have to query many, thankfully, because I've met many in the contest, so I've been able to see which ones I felt I was the best match for. I think that's important when you're querying, is to make sure you know who the agent is that you're querying and that they would be a good fit for you. And so I had a narrow list. I think I just queried six and had a few that wanted to represent me. And Pete was just amazing, his thoughts about where my middle grade. I was just so excited with his notes and what he said he thought the direction should go. And so I'm ecstatic, of course.
Did it give you like more kind of a ecstatic feeling? I mean, look at this. Not only is he into what I've already written, but he's showing me a way to go. Was it something you had thought of doing before, or did he just kind of goose you in the best way possible?
I would say goose me. But the thing is that I knew there was something, just something was kind of off with it. But I just didn't know what was off with it. And when he told me what he thought was off with it, it just kind of really fit. And it was an exciting moment for me. And I knew that he was the one, just because of the fact that where he saw it and that it felt right to me.
Right, and that's really underestimated. I mean, I think the feeling of, I think you can get a feeling for all the querying authors or aspiring authors out there. You can get a feel. You can get a feel for agents. The internet is your friend. If I'm researching an agent, I'm going to Google. And speaking of Google, you should be Googling Brenda Drake right now. Not only does she have a fantastic blog, but she's also on Twitter, and you're fantastic. It's at Brenda Drake.
Okay.
If you don't follow her now, you should be following her. And you know, that's another thing that we're contending with now again, and you're doing a brilliant job of, which is you're very engaged in social media. Do you think that's becoming of more importance nowadays to establish a platform even for fiction authors?
Yeah, I think you need to be out there, but you need to be making sure that you're not misusing it either. You can't. I mean, you know, like if you're blogging, buy my book every 2 seconds, people are going to drain you out. You need to be personal, and you need to, you know, sometimes, you know, that kind of sounds crazy because I am saying, oh, this contest all the time, but I have to do that so that I can get writers to know that there's a new contest so that they can have that opportunity, because contests are great opportunities, and there's a bigger percentage that are successful through the contest than slush reading, and through the slush pile, because you're highlighted.
I can totally attest to that, because, you know, but there's almost a time limit on submissions. Like, this is the last year I pitch one manuscript. This is the year, because I don't want to flog something to death if it's not working, right? So, I mean,
right.
You don't want to. And the other thing, of course, we'll talk more about contest after the break, but, you know, you're in a position where I would imagine you have a really great editorial eye, in part because of these contests and in part because you're working with an agent closely. Have you found that to be true, that now you can kind of look at something and find what maybe you didn't see earlier, like with the first book?
Yeah, and I have gone through two rounds of edits with Library Jumpers. I'll be going through a third line of edits, and my editor on Library Jumpers is phenomenal, Mandy. I don't know how to say her name. I know how to type it.
I'm the same
but
way.
But it's showing.
It's awful. I'm going to throw myself in front of you, because for the life of me, I cannot say Pam von Hicklema. I'm not saying it right. So see,
yeah,
I just blown you
Book-alicious.
Out of the water. Your editor is doing a great job, and I think editors don't get the credit that they need.
Oh, she's amazing. And again, that's another person who has seen my book or seen things that I wasn't seeing in my book, that when she mentions it, it was like, oh, I should have done that. And that's such a great idea. Like, she gets it. She gets the story. I don't think I'm going to have her on book two, which is sad, because she's now, the director of Swoon Romance. But it was just amazing working with her. And I've learned a lot from her too, so that's been great. And so it's like a learning journey all the time. And yeah, I have a better editorial eye, but I still make mistakes. So.
Oh yeah, that's why you're rewriting or revising. But that's a beautiful thing to tell other authors. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to tell people out there who are querying or who are thinking of even submitting their book, that hey, you know what, you're always gonna find something. Always. Did that ever drive you crazy? Like, I have a horrible, horrible semicolon addiction. I'm looking for a 12-step or a cure. I haven't found it. Do you have any of those quirks, or a word you use all the time? Because I seem to be addicted to beatifically lately, or amiable, which are so, like, what am I living in the Victorian ages? Have you eliminated that from your repertoire, or no?
I would like to say yes. I'm sure my editor would say no. But I do have a few things, I think. I can't think of any off the top, because they are like several of them, actually.
Yeah,
so
I do six.
I think I use
I like
so
to have a
lot.
Nervous tick. I look like a epileptic person whenever I see just. I twitch. Oh
yeah.
You used it again. How did that slip past you? Why? So it's good to know. But, you know, right, and when you went to auction, by the way, did you get to talk with the different editors of the different houses that were considering your work?
You know, no, I didn't talk to them. I guess I should have talked to them. I don't know.
No, not if you wound up with the right one.
Yeah, I guess they didn't. They weren't sure which editor would be handling my book at the time. I did know Georgia from the internet and from YA Lit Chat, so I felt comfortable there. And the other ones I would have loved to be with too. They're all great. And
is that just a grueling decision? I mean, is it grueling?
Yeah, it was a leap of faith, and it was just a, you know, okay, I'm going to try it this way. I mean, when you're going with a small publisher, you just need to know you need to know what you're doing, and you need to just, it has to be your decision. Library Jumpers is speculative fiction, so it fits better with Month 9, just because the story of what the story is.
Right, well, you want them to have experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get confused over that. I think urban fantasy, speculative fiction, and magical realism, I just look at those, and I look at the definition. And you know what? I'm tipping my hat to you because thank God, because I'm always like, okay, well, it could be this, it could be that, it might be that,
yeah.
I don't. And it, looking at the definition sometimes confuses you. It's like looking at WebMD when you have a headache. Okay?
Yeah.
If you're going to look at it too much, there will be problems. You will come back confused and shaking your head. But there's so much great information out there to kind of learn from.
Right. I always say just pick the closest one you can that you feel is to your manuscript. And then when you get an agent, they'll tell you what it is, or if you get a publisher, they'll tell you where the category is.
And how exciting. I mean, I know February seems forever away, but I just think my heart would be pounding every single day knowing this was coming out. I mean, do you ever look? I know you don't. You're just too nice. I would look in the mirror and be like, I'm an author, baby.
No, you know, I'm kind of, it's like exciting and terrifying at the same time because you know that you're putting your book out there, your baby out there, and some people are just not going to like it, and some people will love it, and I hope, you know, I want to just focus on the people that are going to love it and see what I see in it, and if not, if they don't like it, that's their choice, because, you know, it is selective, and you just... I don't know.
Everybody has their own genre. I don't really like romance. I mean, I do. That's not even fair to say because I do. I do like some. But it's like Gone with the Wind, okay? It's a classic. Billions of people probably love it or have throughout the time since it was published. I read the first chapter and said, yeah, no. No.
Yeah, you know, I love all kinds of books. I guess I don't write those because I have a certain personality, and I don't know if it's juvenile or just innocent.
I think it's juvenile. I think anyone
I can't
who
go
can
beyond
write,
the kiss.
Anyone
yeah.
who can write YA, anyone who can write middle grade, I am in awe of because it means you've really that you can speak that language, that you can remember what that was like. Now, this is just me. This is just my personal opinion. But I think in some ways that leaves a gift with you or it is a gift of yours that you can see life perhaps with more joy and write about those things and relate to them in a way that perhaps I, who do almost all adult fiction, can't. I think there's a magic that comes with being able to write YA or come up with these magnificent ideas because I'm a sucker. I am an absolute whore for premises that are brand new and fresh.
Oh, you know, I guess it happens because I read with my – I have all age groups with me in my family all the time. I read YA. You know, with my nieces, I read series with them. We get excited. We go to the movies. We go to the midnight light releases together and stuff like that. And then I have Annie who's reading middle grade. And it's just I'm always in with kids that are in the level that I'm writing and stuff.
Right, but you're not going to get away with that. I'm sorry, you're not, because I have 5 sons, and they're all different ages. I mean, I'm expecting my first grandchild, so I have one who's 25, he'll be 25, and then I've got one who's 11. So I get caught up in what they're reading as well. Like, I've read Percy Jackson and The Lightning Thief, and I read all of these things as well, but I can tell you right now, it takes talent to be able to not just read them and appreciate them, but to do what you've done, which is to come up with a unique, fresh premise that you're then executing. Those are 2 different categories. I can appreciate it. I can't write it. So you really, you know, it's about time. You just patted yourself on the back and got it over with. Right?
I'm not good at that, so.
Well, you better get ready because we're going to take a quick break, everyone. But when we come back, poor Brenda Drake is going to have to deal with a whole lot of very gentle back patting. Are you prepared? I hope you're prepared. Because we're going to do this. We have not forgotten the free pass for everyone who's listening from Brenda's Twitter account. Follow her at Brenda Drake. If you're paying attention, this next half hour is going to be crucial because we're going to announce, or Brenda's going to announce, are you announcing the free pass winner on the air?
Yes.
Oh, my. Okay, everybody.
Well, actually, it'll be like we'll have to tweet it. Well, I guess we could announce it on the air, but they're going
to
have to tweet
it.
Oh, okay, but I am going to say the special word that they have to tweet on the air.
Oh, well, there we go then. That's one reason not to miss. I can talk. I swear I can. Not to miss the next half hour. Everybody, you are listening to Lydia's Literary Lowdown. Again, I cannot pronounce, here on WGGM. We'll be right back with the lovely Brenda Drake.
Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Arvel Bird, musician extraordinaire. Visit him at arvelbird.com and get a hold of all of Arvel's wonderful music.
Welcome back to Lydia's Literary Lowdown, which I can now pronounce after having a little chat with the lovely Brenda Drake in the green room. That does not mean that my pronunciation will continue to be flawless, because I am rather foolish. But when you have a little computer voice, okay, anyone who's listening, I just have to bring this up because I'll forget at the end of the show. And Brenda, you can laugh at will, because let me tell you, a lot of times I get cut off or act like a moron at the very end of the show when I'm trying to promote exactly what we want to talk about, which is your content. And the reason why is because I have a little computerized voice doing a countdown in my ear, and it's hilarious. I mean, it is verbal twitching, verbal Tourette's. God bless the people who have Tourette's. I mean, nothing against them, but it's bad. It's so awkward. I hope you didn't listen to last week's show, Brenda, because it was a nightmare. I was really trying to promote you, and wow. Speaking of promotion, it is time for you to get your due, because I, on behalf of every aspiring author out there, need to sincerely and genuinely thank you for all that you do and all that the people you work with do on your blog and in conjunction with other blogs to help aspiring authors. When did you come up with the idea to start hosting these fantastic contests?
You know, I had started doing blog hops, and then I thought, well, I'm going to try to do a contest. And then I did one contest, and I really enjoyed it, and then did a few more. And then I came up with the idea of Pitch Madness, and where it's a game that the agents play, and it took off, and it was just a lot of fun. And I enjoy the successes that come from it, and that there's a fun way to query agents or to get in front of agents. And also the community that is around, you know, contests and stuff, the writing community, and how they help each other and how they meet each other through the contests is quite exciting for me too. And I know that when I started out, I was on my own and I was too afraid to reach out and to find critique partners and stuff like that. But when I started doing contests and stuff, it opened up a new world, and I got to meet more people, and I got my critique partners through different things, and it was putting myself out there. And I think that when you do a contest and you put yourself out there and you're on the hashtag and you're talking to each other and you're rooting for each other and you're crying with each other, you just form such great relationships. And I think that's what you have to take out of doing contests as well. Not just, I know you want to be the top 60 and be the one that the agents are bidding on, but also if you're not, then take advantage of all the opportunities to meet new writers and new friends and new critique partners.
Right. I mean, but it's fantastic, and I just can't, it is beyond my scope of comprehension, because this has turned into a wonderful beast, one you want to pet and hug and snuggle and you know, all of that. But it's still, there's so much organization that has to go on behind the scenes, isn't there? And where on earth do you find time for that and writing?
Well, I am a stay-at-home mother with older children, so I do write, but I do have more time than what normal people do that have like a day job and write. So I do have that, and I'm just, I don't know what it is. I think it's more like a hobby, and when you enjoy something, you find time for it. You know, to me, writing isn't a job, it's a hobby. I mean, I love it, so it's easy to do.
Yeah, again, so humble, so much humility, and I love it, and I think it's absolutely wonderful. But I would be astounded if your Pit Mad, hashtag Pit Mad, Twitter pitch party on September the 12th is not trending. I mean, have you trended before? I'd be surprised if you haven't.
They always do trend, but, you know, I'm really lucky because, you know, the first Pitch Madness that I did and Pit Mad that I did, oh, Pitch Madness, I just had the hosts were, it was just me and three hosts, and so I was doing a lot of the flesh, and they were helping with the flesh. So now it's kind of gotten bigger to where we have some amazing flesh readers and hosts and someone, and then so the hosts, we have Summer Heacock, we have Shelley Waters, we have Sharon Johnston, and then we have our co-hosts that help us make that decision, because sometimes I'm going, I don't know about this one, or I need help because I have to go do this. Can you go on my blog? So I have my co-host, which is Kimberly Chase, and then we have Marike, and I can never say her last name, and she's my CTP partner. Sorry, Marike. Marika. You're like in Eureka, sorry, I always say her name wrong too. I'm going to owe her. And then we have Fiona McLaurin. We have, who else? Did I miss? I'm missing somebody.
I don't know. I don't know if you D.
Yeah, Romito. And then we have Dahlia Adler, who's taking care of the slush this time. So, and then we have all the slush readers, which I won't name them all, but I love them all. So, because
Google
I go
Brenda
in there.
Drake. It's that simple. Google Brenda Drake. If you Google her, her blog is going to come right up. And speaking of that, of course, Pitch Madness is today. Is that just, you know, God bless Dahlia. God bless every single name you mentioned and all the slush readers, because it just seems like a mammoth task. You can get 400, 500 or more submissions. It was a 25-hour contest, so I'm not sure if there's time left or if it has already ended.
It ends today at midnight, the submission does. And, yeah.
What you need is your 35-word pitch and the first 250 words of your manuscript. However, it needs to be formatted correctly, so you need to Google Brenda Drake and go to the site. Right.
Yeah.
I don't want you to have to go through it all, because I do it at the end of every show. Any contest that I can find, but your name comes up the most often, and it's just absolutely amazing. Not only that, but the roster of literary agents you have. There's Carolyn Ford. There's Margaret Bale. There's Terry Wolf. There's Jodell Sadler. There's Danielle Smith, Connor Goldsmith. There's Jordy Albert. Oh, Jordy, sorry. Lena Popovic. I just interviewed her. I have to, you know, say something. Gordon Warnock. There's Carly Weber. Judith Ingracia. There's, I hope I say this right, Uwe Stender. Is that it? Uwe?
Thank
God
you.
I'm not alone. That's all I needed to know for that. Carly Waters, Jessica Sinheimer, Peter Knapp, your very own agent, Melissa Jaglinski, Louise Fury. I mean, these are tip-top names, and you've got till midnight tonight to do this. And it is just amazing. I mean, I look at every time you have a contest, I tell people about it almost every time you're on. Well, not you yourself, but every time you have one going. And it is amazing to me because it's grown into this huge thing where you can meet other authors. And it sounds like all of this sprung from almost this 200 rejections that you had and that feeling that you get whenever it's not quite clicking. And kind of frustration comes along with that, because at that point you're so early in the game, so to speak, that you're not aware. Like the first manuscript I sent off, I got a request for it. It was not formatted. Brenda, you would laugh. You would laugh so hard. It was not formatted, like, at all. Okay, so is that where this impulse to help other authors came from? Because you've been there.
Yeah, I've made mistakes in the past where, you know, just like my query was horrendous, and you know, I've addressed it to the wrong agents and stuff like that. So I've done all the terrible things in the past too. I think we're just human and we make mistakes, and you know, not to stress over it and just pick up and go. I mean, agents are pretty nice. I enjoy, you know, the ones that I communicate with, and they're very giving and they're very kind. So it's not like they're going to bite you. So,
well, yeah, it's like I think I told Jordy Albert, you know, they're not born with a martini in one hand and a rejection stamp in the other.
Except for maybe one I know of. No, just kidding.
Well, you nice. very nice. But they're not born that way. They're really nice people. They're actual people. The thing is that, I mean, I would imagine you have some kind of kinship, in a way, in a little way, with them, because surely at one point you were reading, so to speak, slush as well, right? And, I mean, I would imagine it hurt a little bit sometimes to let go of things that were good. They were good, but they just didn't quite good enough.
Right. It is. It's hard. I think my heart bleeds every time because I think of each person behind the query. And the thing is that I've had to even reject writer friends of my own for contests. And that's hard to do, but I stay professional. If they're not ready, then I can't put them out there. And it's just a hard thing to do, but I know that it might be a no, but it's going to be a yes as long as they keep going. If you don't give up, if you keep learning and you keep going and you keep putting yourself out there, you'll get there.
Right. And I mean, that's something. Persistence is a writer's best friend, and publishing mm-hmm. is God's way of teaching patience. That's all I have to say, really. It seems to me, if you're going the traditional route, it really does seem to be, to me, the only reason I'm going that route is because I want to make sure my work is the best. And having, besides my critique partners, besides my beta readers, I want to make sure that it's really good. Do you know what I mean? And that's not to say that indie authors out there, I've seen and I interview amazing indie authors all the time. Maybe it's insecurity on my part, but I think, okay, if it's good enough, it will get out there. If it's not, well, there's always another manuscript that you can be working on. Because you do get better as time goes on. I'm sure you notice that.
Right. It's amazing. Like, I can look at it 10 years ago and look at it today. It's a totally different writer. I mean, some of those manuscripts, I'm like, whoa, let's not ever bring those ones out, ever.
Well, I've never found one that has a seed of a really good idea that you can look at in a totally different way and might revisit later.
No.
Oh, wow, okay.
I know, I'm just kidding. Because, you know, I look at it and I just, the whole thing is just, you know.
Yeah, if you're cringing, it's probably not a good sign, right?
Yeah.
Because I have some I cringe at and go,
thinking?
Yeah, I don't think I can fix that. I don't think I can fix that. I don't know if I even want to try to fix that. And
it's
then
like
there
such
are others
a mess.
That do have nuggets. They have good nuggets, and it's like, well, I don't know about that. We'll just see. On the back burner, like, I know I've read that Stephen King does it. What kind of resources, because you are kind of like, you're not going to agree with this at all, I already know it, but you kind of are like a queen in a way, and you have lots of queens around you, see, you can't argue with that, who are really dedicated to helping other authors, and it has to feel sublime to be surrounded with people who are as dedicated as you are to helping other authors.
Well, when I do consider people to help at the contest, they have to have that heart, and I see that in every single one of the people, of the writers that do help with the contests. Not only do they have to have that skill that I see, they have to have that heart, and that's what they have, and I am in awe of them and thankful for them, and glad to call them friends, and I'm speechless over how wonderful they are.
Yeah, well, that's how we all feel about you, just so you know. I'm going to throw it out there. So I can't resist. I can't wait any longer. What is the magic word that people need to tweet for a free pass into Pitch Madness?
Oh, I totally forgot. So I had to pick out one that I had to practice the pronunciation for a long time so that it would be hard for them. Sort of. But anyway, all you have to do is tweet to the hashtag PitchMadness, I had this all practiced.
Whoa, holy crap. I can't pronounce that. Biblia.
Well, here, give me a second. Okay, so I'm going to get a different word because I can't pronounce this one now.
I don't think I can.
I had to
either.
Practice, and an hour later, it's gone out of my head. How about just celebration? just tweet celebration.
Celebration is the word. Send celebration. Are we doing a hashtag Pitch Madness on Twitter right now? You're entering
first
for
one.
A free pass, right? The first
right.
person who gets that to you gets a free pass. And what that means in this case is you get through the slush and right into the host round, correct?
Correct. And if you've already sent your pitch, I will go and get it and put it in the third round. Or if you're going to be pitching, I will have your name and I will put it right into the third round. So everyone's welcome to do it.
And it's Monopoly themed. How do you do this? I have read the rules, okay? I have read the rules on air, I'll have you know. And I still am like, oh, my gosh, this is so complex. I mean, it looks like great fun, don't get me wrong, because I love the little game pieces that each agent has. I love that. I think it's so neat. But I don't have, I don't know where you come up with this kind of creativity. Do you all, email back and forth, sit around a table to come up with which game is next?
Katie Hannah helped me with that one. KT Hannah on Twitter. With the Monopoly one, because I was like, sometimes I'm like going, oh, what game should I do? Because I've done poker, I've done darts, I've done paintball, but people give me ideas. They'll say, oh, you should do this. And I'm like, oh, cool, we'll do that. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go the opposite direction and say the one you probably shouldn't do is Sorry, because that would be awful. Wouldn't that be awful?
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, I don't know. I think life would be fun. I would just be like, sorry, okay, that's my buzzword. That's an omen. I don't think so.
I was thinking Clue.
That would be awesome. And then you just make one of the agents, right? One of the agents is going to turn out to be the culprit.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah, the literary culprit. I like that.
Okay, I'll have to turn that one around.
I even came up with something like that. You bring out the best in me. I can say that right now. It's just absolutely amazing the things that you do. And it's not just you. You've got a whole ring of some of the people we mentioned earlier who get together. How do all of you manage to do that? Is it by email? Is it by, Messenger? Is it by Skype? I mean, it's amazing to me.
We do talk on Twitter a lot. We do email. There's a few that I do talk to on the phone. Just whatever.
And you
whatever
really
anyone
should,
wants
well,
to
every
do.
One of them. You've got to Google Brenda Drake. You've got to go to her site because trust me, it's not just the agents you want to follow. It's the slush readers. It's the host and co-host. You want to follow them because honestly, I follow a lot of them and they are the nicest people. They will talk to you. And the same is true for literary agents. You know, they're actual people. You can joke around with them.
Yeah,
because
I would,
was frightened. I didn't know about you, Brenda, but I was frightened the first time I said something on Twitter to a literary agent. I was like, man, I'm never getting a reply to this. And then they're so nice. So are you. So is Summer Heacock. So is Shelley Waters. They're all absolutely wonderful. You need to look them up. You need to read their blogs. I know Dahlia did, and I love her name, by the way. She did an excellent, excellent blog post, which on your blog, she did a guest blog about submitting and querying at the same time, like to an agent and to a small pub. It's thought-provoking. It's well done. And it is something that nowadays, I think she makes a really good point. If there are editors and agents on any particular contest, in this case, for Pitch Madness, it's going to be just agents. But there are some cases where it's actually agents and editors. And what Dahlia is saying beautifully is that you probably want to pick one side or the other. Because
right.
it can get awkward if you don't.
Yeah, Dahlia and I had been hearing, things from agents and, concerns from publishers or whatever. And so when we were talking, I asked her to do it because she's so good at writing those things. And she's just there's just so much talent the way she can put it all together and really make the points clear to everyone. And, it's just knowing your path. We're all going to make mistakes. We might, sub to an editor and pitch an agent at the same time out of not knowing that, you know, we should pick a path. And we're all going to make mistakes, but don't beat yourself up. Just pick yourself up and, you know,
and
try to do it.
And hope you don't get caught out. Because that would be my great fear. You understand? That would be my great fear where, oh, my gosh, this is a small publisher. I didn't really want to go with them. Now they made an offer, and I have to turn around and tell the agents, and I'm going to look like a total idiot, which, you know, I'm quite good at, Brenda. I follow you on Twitter. You know how I am. I'm quite good at that. So that would be my terror. But every one of their blogs is just amazing. I love it.
Yes.
I mean, a really informative, great sense of humor. I mean, if you want to know what voice is, Google Brenda Drake. It's not just her voice. It's everyone else's voice. All these just hugely important blogs that tell you the minutia. Because you can find out about queries. You can find out about submissions. You can find out about all of that if you just Google it. Okay, obviously.
And
I'm a fan
Rebecca
of Google
Weston
it.
Has...
Super Bing, go with it.
Yeah. Rebecca Weston has a good blog also, and she's my co-author on a young adult thriller we're writing. Well, we're revising it right now. And she helps a lot, and she has some great insight too. So she's another good one.
And it's the little things you don't think about, because there's some things that aren't covered. If you're looking for queries, submission response times, anything like that, that's generally going to be covered. But there are a lot of things that aren't going to be covered that I find your co-host, the host on Pitch Madness, they will address at one point or another. It's like a daily round. I do a daily round of every one of their blogs because they are so valuable to authors, aspiring authors, even if you're going the indie route, hugely valuable, hugely.
Yes.
But then so are you.
Oh, thanks. I do mostly contests, and sometimes I'll do workshops, but I don't really put out all the great stuff that they do as far as giving you knowledge about things about the writing community and stuff like that. There's already people doing that wonderfully.
So far back in my head, Brenda, I'm purposely interrupting you because I don't know if my eyes are ever going to face forward again, because not only do you run contests to help aspiring authors, but I go to your blog regularly, and you are promoting other authors' work that has just come out.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little easy, humble, yeah, yes you are, and that makes you, and you know, it's always a privilege to meet a diamond in this world of coal. You are one of them. Everyone who's associated with your blog is also a diamond in this world of coal. I have learned so much from you, I've learned so much from them, and I know that most of the people listening have as well, so we owe all of you a debt of gratitude for what you continue to do for us. And more importantly, what you continue to teach us. So there, take that.
Well, it's been fun.
Yeah, never has gratitude sounded more churlish, right? Now I'm going to be wondering all night if I pronounced that right, but time is up, everyone.
And I won't even know if you did or not.
Well, that makes me feel much better. I think we should talk more often just because of that. Brenda, I cannot thank you enough for all you do, and most especially showing up on the show and giving away the free pass on Twitter.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope you'll come back in February.
Oh, definitely. I would love to.
But I'm going to read the book first, so that then you have to sit through a full hour of me complimenting you incessantly on what you've managed to achieve.
Oh, I better do good on this third round of edits.
That's right. I'll have to ship you some whiskey or bourbon balls or something like that,
yeah.
Bourbon balls. See there, I mispronounced something else. Thank you so much for being on, and thank you so much for all you do on a weekly basis.
Well, thank you.
You take care and have a very, very good remainder of the weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Okay, everyone, that was the magnificent Brenda Drake. If you did not hear, celebration is the word. If you want a free pass, and someone may have already won it in the time since we announced it, but celebration, hashtag Pitchmas, and you will get a free pass into Brenda Drake's amazing contest. Everybody, I have to tell you, next week's the real deal. I'm not going to come up with a surprise Jordy Albert. I have to make a house move, so I will not actually be on next week. But the week after, I have music composer, and his book is so good. Rob
Goki is actually going to be here on September the 7th. I cannot wait to talk to him, and I hope you cannot wait to listen. Everyone, have a great weekend. Again, I'll be MIA next weekend. I'll be back with the fantastic Rob Goki after that. You've been listening to Lydia's Literary Lowdown right here on WGGM.